although the effort you might do that for 21 times or half hour, whatever it takes to calm you down. So why don't we practice that right now? So let's practice a long exhale, long inhale. In between, it's very good to be rest. So let's do that. When you exhale, you empty your air inside you. When you inhale, the air element fresh fill in. So multiple repetition is good. Again, do it. Now slowly breathe normally. Normal exhale, normal inhale. And since the normal means as comfortable as you can, as normal as you can. While you're breathing as normal as you can, your mind is as normal as you can be. In other words, a more natural state as much as you can. The natural state means no disturbance in your mind. Some sits in the middle of it or somewhere. So, natural state means basically not busy with any activities. So the mind is not busy with any activities. That means the mind is alone and the natural state, very comfortable. Knowing mind is the matter, mind matter, because when we are scared, something to do with the mind. When we are confused, something to do with the mind. When we are happy, something to do with the mind. When we are attached to something, when we experience attachment, something to do with the mind. When you interpret everything or anything, good, bad, in between, something to do with your mind. So therefore, mind, it's an important issue. Mind is the most important thing we have. So when we lost our mind, we lost everything. When we experience happiness in our mind, no matter how things are bad, you're still experiencing happiness. On the contrary, no matter how good things around you and you have, if you're not happy, you're not happy. So mind matters. Mind matters. In fact, sutra, teaching, everything, anything you dream about, or anything, everything you perceived is a reflection of your mind. That word I use, reflection, is something to do with your interpretation of your mind. That mind we're talking about. That mind we need to relax. That mind we need to be calm. That mind we need to be tame them. That mind need discipline. Not in a punishment way, but more like a framework. To make a framework around the mind, positive things, how you can engage, how you can create positive activities, and reduce negative activities. and harmful activities, reduce or in some cases completely block and remove negative activity seeds away from your mind stream. Mind is so beautiful, so powerful. Everything, anything happening in your life, as far as you believe there's something happening in your life, is no other than is the interpretation of your mind, is the movement of your mind, or I can say it is the activities of your mind. Activities of your mind. Mind is beyond death. At the same time, not knowing reality of mind we are fear, we are experiencing fear, we are losing mind. We are experiencing that might say, I don't know I have a mind or not. Because you haven't found your mind. Although mind is everything what you got, but you haven't found your own mind. When you can't find your own mind, how can you find somebody else's mind? That will be a little harder. But the mind is everything. All living beings in the six realms fundamental seat or fundamental base on their existence is it's on the mind, whether what realm you are. But if you don't have mind, there is no case to go. So if you don't have any mind, there is no case in any realm because there's nothing to file case. So in the human realm, we have multiple activities, multiple activities that we have in the course of our life. And everything entire our life, dream of life, is experienced by our mind. And you will tell me you have a good memories, some of the old memories, you have some painful memories, you may have a lot of mixed memories, good and bad. The reason you have some memory is because your mind deal with it. Although everything we deal with our mind, impossible to remember, recapture everything. Just like one day, what we see, what we think, will not be able to fit in a room like this size. So there's a lot of activity going on our mind. And because it's everything has to do with the mind. That mind we're talking about here, to put on a cushion, put on a cushion. Besides your physical body, besides our physical body, put that mind we're talking about all this morning. Put that mind on the cushion and tell that your mind stay right there and don't shake, don't move. And take a break from engaging past, present, future activities. Take a break. Take a break yourself from your work. Same, take a break your mind activities that involve with it. Take a break and put on a cushion. Basically, let them relax, let them calm down. So now we're going to calm down and meditate and resting on one spot and find out how good you can do. Find out how you deal with your mind. How to deal with your mind. In other words, how good your mind on the cushion. And a moment of truth, it's you look inwardly yourself. There is nothing else to look if you don't know how to look at your mind. If you know how to look at your mind, you know how to look at everything inwardly, outwardly. So now we're talking about look inwardly and find out how close your mind is in a natural state. And that is the practice. Again, we're going to practice exhale and inhale. This time, like the technique we just use, it's like exhale, inhale, and good in the 8-4 path, the Four Noble Truth and Eightfold Path teachings of that tradition, that we have exhale, inhale, and then meditate. So that technique is hoping you will practice all the time. The second part I want to introduce is a little bit with the Mahayana tradition. That will be, again, we're going to do exhale. Then we're going to have inhale, long exhale, long inhale. The idea is when we exhale, you let it go all your problems and negative emotions. You exhale. You actually visualize and get out of your system. You inhale the healing energy. The healing energy, perhaps we got talking about the healing from elements and healing from Buddhist Bodhisattva. So you inhale them. And when you exhale, you let it go, most powerful problems that you have in your life. And then all their friends are problems. It's called a major problems, and then minor problems. And then associate with the problems. You need to let it go. By using Mahayana techniques, as much as you believe that you have a suffering in your life, I cannot ask you more than what you believe yourself, but whatever you believe yourself, that much you have to believe, you're letting it go and letting it come in, taking in. And then meditate in equanimity or impartiality. In other words, completely exhale practice, completely inhale practice, in between equanimity practice means in between, none of them exist. So that will be a word, fancy word they use, echo boy, but we will practice that now. So sit upright, like a Buddha's Bodhisattva, how they see. Buddha's Bodhisattva, how they sit. And exhale, entire your solar system of your body, so all negative karma and all problems in your facing, they're completely getting out, and they are eliminated, or they are terminated, or they are going away from your system. So let's do that again 21 times or more. And then inhale the healing energy of the fire, earth, water, air, elements of deities, or elements of four elements, five elements, space, all you, the healing part you take in. So let's do that now. So that technique is available from Mahayana point of view, and If you believe you have negative karma, if you believe you have a lot of problems that bother you, then you practice that. You practice that technique entire your life because there's nothing else to do better than that doing. And you might think, entire life I'm busy. Yeah, you're always busy anyway. So you're busy doing nothing or doing all kinds of things, whatever we call, it's all good. But anyway, all the bugs are busy, and I picked up accidentally a piece of wood yesterday. There were hundreds of ants stuck on my hand. They're so small, but I can feel. They're small, I can feel. So I have to, without killing, have to remove. And the reason I'm sharing that with is they are more busy than ever. Ants are busy underneath the rotten trees, a little piece of wood. So does humans are busy. Only one question arises, we just don't know why we are busy. But everybody says, yeah, I'm busy because I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Yes, yes. But really, it's the busy. It's everywhere, all busy. And then no longer moving, no longer busy. Only when they're no longer moving. And then when they're no longer moving, it's kind of late. So that is the message for today. And I haven't given audience a question answer much the last couple months. So I'm going to give today 10-20 minutes question answer. And especially questions that related talk this morning. And also questions that is you want to ask me and you could not ask me. The question is, it's good to be related to Dharma because that's what I try to stay with, the Dharma subject. If it's the other subject, sometimes you might be wasting your time talking with me because you might know more than I do. So why bother? So here we're going to have question answers and raise hand and don't be shy. See, you can loudly, everybody here.
I have not seen my mind as far as I know.
Okay.
You tell us frequently that we should look at our mind.
Right. Actually, frequently it's look at mind is maybe a beginner's or even an intermediate state. But the more advanced practitioner will look at their mind all the time. Now, when you say, I didn't see my mind yet, probably that is a true statement. It is not what you don't see, it is what you don't recognize. Big differences. You can see it. The problem is you don't recognize them. And we need to remember the sutra teachings, Lord Buddha sutra. Seeing your mind is seeing your Buddha. So basically, if you see your mind, then you see Buddha in you, or inseparable with you and Buddha. So apparently most students don't see Buddha yet. They see monkey and they see donkey and they see all kinds of problems. So when you see Buddha, then you see everything. In other words, when you see Buddha, you see everything, including your mind. So, Rangsin Sanji Yenji Ngomashi. And then one of the root texts saying, Rangsin Sanji Yenji Ngomashi means, my mind is Buddha, but I did not recognize them. When you recognize your mind, then you see Buddha. When you see Buddha, you see everything. Right now, unenlightened beings, we think we see everything, but we see really nothing. Almost we see nothing. Everything we see is limited. Limited means it's a minimum. Very, very superficial reality, shallow, surface. Surface is what we see. We don't see beyond that because we haven't seen our mind yet. Is that answer for you? Is that okay? The ideological speaking, theoretical speaking, yes. That if you care about knowing your mind and seeing your mind or achieve liberation, then you put all your effort and put your practice all in that direction. That is the advice. But many practitioners, hundreds of thousands, they go in that direction, but sort of they get tired. Sort of they're stuck on a sidetrack. Sort of they're taking a wrong turn. And even they take a wrong turn, they don't know they took a wrong turn. They still believe they're going that direction. It is the opposite of direction, but still, they think they're going that direction. I'm just speaking for all believers in the universe. Speaking for them. And may they all figure out sooner or later to go in the right direction. So they're not going in the wrong direction and further and further by believing they're going somewhere. So that's my answer. Okay, next question. Can you speak slowly and clearly?
The Sukha book I showed you earlier, is there something about similar as you say that everyone is a Buddha but you cannot see it because you have the illusions that Ashman and Ashman, you cannot see it. So we are all, we have the illusion of Buddha but we cannot see it. This is something I have to say.
Yeah. Well, teachings of the I don't remember the name. Anyway, Maitreya Buddha teaching. Deshi nyingpo nduwa kuen la chaam, nduwa ndada sanje kuen ju ju. The Buddha nature, or the potential to be Buddha, seed of enlightenment, is possessed by all living beings. The ones going the wrong direction, the ones going the right direction, they all have a same potential and same seeds of enlightenment. So those who are going the wrong direction might take a little longer. Those who go in the right direction, they might take a little shorter. And those who are going really fast will get there a little faster. Those who are going really slowly, they might take a little longer. Does that give you some idea? So according to that text of saying, we all have a Buddha nature. And the same with the sutra we're talking about, seeing yourself is a seeing Buddha. In other words, not seeing your physical body, seeing your mind, then you see the Buddha. So same we go. According to the book you're talking about, I didn't read, so I cannot say good, I cannot say bad. I have no idea, writer, how good they wrote, the translator, how good translated. I have no idea. So the best thing is, since you read, you have the book, hoping you will be presenting and tell me what they talk about that, then I go, mm-hmm, or I go, yes, yes. If that makes sense.
So you let me know if you like it or not.
Yeah, I go, yes, yes, or I go, no, no. It depends on how I interpret it myself, in my level. Yeah. Okay, next question. Yeah, the common one they use is called Tonglen, taking and sending. Yeah, taking and sending. So taking is, there is a reverse taking and sending. First, talk about your question. So taking and sending, in a sense, you're taking a universally the healing in and taking and sending out. In a way, your all problems that you have. Reverse that will be when you view all sentient beings in your mind, then you're sending good stuff for all sentient beings and then taking problems they have, negative karmas they have, you're taking out of that from all sentient beings and then sending all things they needed, good things you send back. That will be love, compassion, also called Tonglen, taking and sending. Now, taking and sending use as a personal for yourself, for your personal practice, where you have a sickness, you have a disease, clinic disease, or you may have a physical problem and a mental problem. And then, you don't want to share anybody with that. So basically, it's a personal problem. So what you need to do is send out all of those in emptiness and then take healing powers all into you. So that might be more personal, perhaps a selfish, perhaps a personal, selfish, positive practice. The bigger one is altruistic taking and sending. You want to send all good things what you got, share all good things what you got, and send all your love and compassion to all living beings, all sentient beings, and then taking their pain and suffering. And you're not scared, and you are strong enough to take everybody's problem. So you say, give it to me. And I don't want you to suffer. Give it to me. So you take on it. You ask them, please give it to me. And so It is an altruistic practice. It is a bodhisattva practice. And that practice is a very hard. Theoretically, it's a beautiful practice, but the majority of people may not ever to do much of that practice. But then some people do practice that. This practice is available for not only monks and nuns and yogis, yoginis, but also common people, for everybody. And you'll be surprised. I ran into a person, nothing to do with the Buddhist, and talking to this person, guess what? He practiced the altruistic practice. He does not recognize as a Buddhist, but he practiced the court of Mahayana practice. He is doing it, and he is not taking refuge. He has no interconnection with the Baba Guruji. He has no Baba Lamaji, nothing. But when he described his practice, what he do every day, it makes me, this is advanced practitioner. This is not small, ordinary practitioner like that. So the reason I share that with you here is that sometimes those kind of practice is available, and there's a lot of people doing that you are not aware of. But their practice is already practice there. So therefore, never underestimate anybody. You never know what practice they do every day, every moment. You never know. So, Konsage Tso Konsage Mate, Buddha himself say, ordinary human beings cannot judge ordinary human beings because they're all ordinary human beings. And then he says, he says, in order to know me, you have to be like me. Just like me, then you will know me. In other words, in order to know me, you have to be level of me, so you will know me. And otherwise, you won't know me. But the ordinary people always, they say, I know each other, I know this. They know some degree, but they really don't know important stuff. Most important part, they don't know, because Buddha say, Kansage Tso Kansamri, sentient beings can't really understand other sentient beings thoroughly because they are all ordinary beings. Does that make sense? Okay, one more question, then we're done. Anybody? Last question. Yes.
Just a little follow-up to your answer. You said about the first view of Tong Lin, if we're working on ourselves to let go of whatever it is, negative emotions, problems, that to breathe it out to emptiness. How does, and this is kind of a cognitive question, but I mean, how does that emptiness, how would that process that type of energy coming from, you know, different sentient beings?
All sentient beings are located in emptiness, number one. And we are also coming from emptiness. And we are also part of emptiness, and we will blend into emptiness. Every one of us will not be here, guarantee, give us 100 years. And if we, 100 years from now on, nobody will be here. There will be a new group of people who will be celebrating here, and they acting like nothing happened. Just like us, we acting like nothing happened. Like that. And the show must go on once we build the beautiful Buddhist shrine room tradition here, because you guys, we collectively, we put the money and we built the shrine room here, then it will be for thousands of years people will be practicing here. But anyway, where they're coming from at the moment, I don't know, but they are coming from every direction. And where we are going, where we are heading to, we are going all directions also at the same time. And this is a beauty of emptiness. Beauty of emptiness. According to sutra text, emptiness, and since I remember the root text right here, everything, anything is possible because everything is emptiness. Nothing can be possible if it's not empty by itself. In other words, if there is no empty here, we can't really walk. We can't even move our body because there's no space to move. But everything rises from emptiness, and it also taking good care of you into the emptiness. So, therefore, your reincarnation of many lifetimes are already in emptiness because they're not available. Or at least you can't really pull back your reincarnation. Previous life, they are part of the emptiness now. Future. Many lives you have a coming future, but right now, where are they? Well, they're kind of like emptiness somewhere, since we can't remember, since we can't see. Only somebody have to see, like a Buddha. And he can't go even 1,000 lifetimes or 500 lifetimes, then he give up on it. it's countless. What about after 500 lifetimes, you then what? Oh, I can't really. It's too much. The best thing it says beginningless time. It's not that he doesn't know. It's just there is no point to talking. He had to stop some point. So he was talking after 500 lifetime and thousands of lifetime. There is a text called Kirpsobdenba. Means talk about 500 lifetime Buddha. What did reincarnate he did? What his activities? How he deal with each lifetime? It's all available, and I'm sure it's in English too, and it's in Buddhist text that's available. So thank you very much, everybody.